next one.
Rav Shlavar will prove that we were wrong. Okay, good. Okay, we're beginning a new sugya where the Gemara speaks about lemaisa how you kasha the knives. Lemaisa, the correct way to kasha the knives, the Gemara says the hilchos of b'roschin. You just have to put it into a pot of boiling water and shoy. So the Gemara says that this boiling water has to be b'kli rishon. That's the lashon of Gemara. You have to kasha b'kli rishon. So we have to take a step back and understand what does that term mean. What exactly does kli rishon mean in other areas of halacha before we can begin to even understand how that's going to play out in terms of kashering. The term kli rishon, the term kli sheni are terms that we're most familiar with from the sugyas of Masechta Shabbos. It's the famous Gemara in Masechta Shabbos and third parak of Mem, where the Gemara draws a distinction vis-a-vis Kippur and Shabbos, where the Gemara says that bishul, at least bishul min haTorah, normally can only take place in the kli rishon, cannot take place in the kli sheni. So we think we know what a kli rishon is. We think that a kli rishon means that when you have a pot that's either sitting on the fire or even if it's right now not on the fire, it was once on the fire, that's what we think the term kli rishon means. That's what the Mishnah that seems to say on Masechta Shabbos, when the Mishnah talks about not putting raw food into a kli rishon. So the Mishnah says, even if you took the pot off the fire, it's sitting on the counter. So how's the Mishnah go? No, taf mem. Havir merusachin, right? What's the lashon? That even though you took it off the fire, but since it was one time on the fire, that's called the kli rishon. And we're pretty sure that once the contents are poured into a second, into a bowl, that's already considered to be kli sheni. So we're pretty sure we understand what kli rishon is, what kli sheni are, and probably whatever those definitions are for Shabbos are going to carry off the kashering as well. So the Gemara says, v'hilchos of a kli rishon, they have to kash the knives in a kli rishon. So what that probably means is that if you have a treif knife or a chametz knife and you want to kasher it, you have to throw it into a pot that's either sitting on the fire, or presumably, even if it's not sitting on the fire, if it was once sitting on the fire, maybe that should also be good. I said presumably because that may change very quickly. But that's l'chayr what the din should be. Mashain came, if I take the contents of that pot and pour it into a bowl, and then I throw the treif knife into that bowl, I didn't do the trick. That's not called hagola. So the Gemara is telling us, Pasha said, didn't be the right. He said, hagola has to be the kli rishon. Again, we have very, very few Gemaras about hagola. It's a Gemara at the end of Avodah Zarah and the Gemara here in Pesachim. And if in one of these Gemaras, the Gemara uses the term kli rishon, so it sounds like that is the definition of hagola. Hagola min haTorah has to be dafka the kli rishon. And we think we know what a kli rishon is. We may think we know what a kli rishon is, but the Rishonim aren't so sure what a kli rishon is. Because although it's true that whatever's in the original pot is kli rishon water, whatever has already been in a bowl is kli sheni water, there is a certain point which is unclear. And that's the point of transfer. The point we call in halacha iroi. What exactly is iroi? Is iroi considered to be the halacha equivalent of a kli rishon? Because as long as it hasn't yet, the contents haven't yet entered into a second pot, we assume it's still part of the first pot. That would be iroi ki kli rishon. Or do we say no? That once they exit the first pot, even though they haven't landed in a second pot, even in the process of transfer, in the process of being poured, that's also halachically considered to be already a kli sheni. So that's going to be a tremendous nafkamina ladina. In Hilchos Shabbos, that'll be a big nafkamina. And in Hilchos Kashrut, it's going to be a big nafkamina. Let's say the following. Let's say I have a treifa knife, or I have a chometzik knife, or whatever, a spoon, whatever the case is, and I want to apply the Gemara of Hilchos HaBikli Rishon. So it's easier for me to pour boiling water onto this knife rather than throw it into a pot. To throw it into a pot, then I got to wait until the pot cools down, until I take it down. It's a big hassle. So it's much easier. I'll take the knife, put it down on something, take a tea kettle, and shun, pour water from the tea kettle onto the knife, and shun. So if you hold that that's also called kli rishon, means whatever is derech iroi, calls down the water hasn't hit the next receptacle, that's still called kli rishon water, so that would be okay. That would fulfill the din of hilchos kli rishon. If you say no, that's not considered to be kli rishon, then it's not going to be kli rishon for the purpose of kashering either. So what should that locha be? So here we find a major machlekes rishonim, three opinions, all three quoted in the Baalei HaTosfos. What exactly is the status of the water in the derech iroi? That could be three opinions, either yes and either kli rishon or kli sheni. So we find three different shitas. So we find the shita of the Rashbam. The Rashbam is the biggest make el machmir, depending on what area of halacha you're in. So comes the Rashbam and says that once the water exits the kli rishon, so it already loses its status of kli rishon, and even while it's in transit, even while it's in the airspace, it's already considered to be kli sheni water. Now, if you think about it, that's a tremendous kula in Hilchos Shabbos, because that basically means that when you pour boiling water onto an uncooked food, that's like putting it into a kli sheni, which is probably mutter, at least Minat Torah is probably going to be mutter, maybe problematic for other reasons. So the Rashbam is taking a stand on the status of the water in transit. It's dinu k'klisheni. That's going to cause a lot of trouble in Hilchos Kasher. According to the Rashbam, it's going to be out of the question to Kasher through Iroi, because that's like putting it through a klisheni in the Gemara's Beferish, because it's a Bikli Rishon. But other Rishonim disagree with the Rashbam. Who was one of the big bar pluktas of the Rashbam? His brother, Rabbeinu Tam. What did Rabbeinu Tam say? Rabbeinu Tam said it's not true that the water that leaves the Kli Rishon still has the status of a Kli Rishon. It's no, if he did, it's still considered to be Kli Rishon. So, man, this is what was going on at the table between the Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam when they were grown up as teenagers. So this is what they would discuss as their mother would come and pour them cups of tea on Shabbos. So the Rashbam would say, that's Kli Sheni water. And Rabbeinu Tam said, that's not true. That's Kli Rishon water. And then you had a third sheet in the Rishonim. What's the third sheet? Rabbeinu Baruch. Rabbeinu Baruch, Tysus quotes others. It's unclear exactly who else held like this. Rabbeinu Baruch in one place, Tysus quotes. The same Tysus appears in Shabbos and in Avodah Zarah and in Zvachim. It's the same pretty much Tysus. One place they quote a Beferish from Rabbeinu Baruch. Rabbeinu Baruch said that Rabbeinu Tam is not 100% right. It's not quite Kli Rishon. On the other hand, the Rashbam is not 100% right either. It's not quite Kli Sheni. What is it? It has certain dimensions of both. What does that mean? It's Kli Rishon, Zok Rabbeinu Baruch, is totally mevashel. If I take raw food and throw it into a Kli Rishon, so the food becomes cooked through and through. Mamish, no shal about it. Take a raw food, raw egg, it comes mamish cooked legamri. Kli Sheni does nothing. Min Torah, zero. It's not considered to be a Maaseh B'Shul Klal. Zok Rabbeinu Baruch, Iroi Kli Rishon, has the ability to cook, but only part of the food. Which part of the food? The food that comes in direct contact with the water, that's what's called Klipa. Kadei Klipa. Klipa here doesn't mean like Klipa, same word. Klipa is in the Elmas HaYayim. But Klipa here means the outer peel. It means the outer layer. The layer that's actually being touched by the water. So when I pour boiling hot water onto an uncooked food, Zok Rabbeinu Baruch, the outermost part is being cooked, but the innermost part is not being cooked. So is Rabbeinu Tam right that it's Dinuk Kli Rishon? Not exactly. If it would be real Kli Rishon, then it would cook entirely. Is the Rashbam right that it's garnish, it's commando lace, that's very klisheni? He's not quite right either. He's somewhere in the middle. That Iru is mevashel kidei klipa, but it's not mevashel bakulo. Where does Rabbeinu Baruch put you in terms of the Hilchos Shabbos dimension and the Kashrut Kedem dimension? L'chayr Rabbeinu Baruch is the worst position to be in. Why? Because you get the worst of both worlds. You think about it conceptually. According to the Rashbam, that Iru is like klisheni, that's great for Shabbos, terrible for Kashrut. According to Rabbeinu Tam, that Iru is like Kli Rishon, that's terrible for Shabbos, but great for Kashering. According to Rabbeinu Baruch, you're in bad shape. Why? Because according to Rabbeinu Baruch, you're bad for Shabbos, because you're not allowed to cook anything on Shabbos. Even to cook small part of a food is a deraisa. So I can't use Iru to pour onto uncooked foods, because that's going to be a deraisa on the Klipa part of the Bishul. On the other hand, I can't turn around and kasha the Kli that way, because even though it's going to kasha the outermost part of the Kli, well, it's not going to kasher the inside part of the Kli, because the blia, the hot water of the Iru is not going to permeate the entire Kli. So I might get the worst of both worlds according to Rabbeinu Baruch. So we have three different conceptual ways of understanding Iru. Is Iru mevashel mamash like the Kli Rishon, like Rabbeinu Tam? Is Iru does garnish from garnish like the Rashbam? Or is Iru right smack in the middle? And again, you have nafkaminas ladina, both in terms of Shabbos as well as in terms of kashering. So we presented all three shittas, the major shittas in Rishonim, all three balei tosfos to talk about the topic, but we just presented them as just shittas. There's got to be some makor for this. Somewhere the Gemara has to say something about this. So you got to start learning through Shas to figure out where are we going to find the makor. Who's right? Is it Kli Rishon? Is it Kli Sheni? Is it somewhere smack in the middle? So there aren't that many Gemaras to look at. Our Gemara mentions Kli Rishon, but the Gemara doesn't tell us what Iri is. The Gemara in Shabbos Naf Mem talks about Kli Rishon. The Gemara doesn't speak directly, clearly about Iri. So where are you going to go? Where are you going to look? So the answer is you have to start looking through the rest of Shas. So Baruch Hashem, the Rishonim did the work for us, and they discovered a Gemara Maseches Zvachim. And it's much of the discussion is going to revolve around the sugya Maseches Zvachim. For Mitzvah tomorrow, we'll start learning that sugya of Mariko Shtif and Iroi, and see how that sugya is going to play out, and then try to put the whole picture back together again to go back to the story of Kashrut. So we're still trying to figure out Lemaisa, if I have a spoon, a knife, something, a pot, whatever it is, that became treif through Kli Rishon. Is it good enough just to take a tea kettle and pour it all over? That would be a great cooler. If it's good enough or not, hopefully Mitzvah tomorrow will learn. Guys, are still around the next few days? Tomorrow's your last day. You still around? Yeah.